And now here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Price of gasoline just going up, Mr. Dozier. Now, I know that you have a service station in the Santa Clarita Valley.
I do, sir, yes. We're affiliated with Cannon Oil.
And can you tell me what the price is right now?
Well, right now we have we've increased our price per gallon at $2.57 for self serve premium and at $2.39 for self serve regular.
And do you offer a full serve?
We do offer full serve. It's $3 a gallon for full serve. That is full serve premium. And I do hate having to charge these prices, as you were saying, Phil, but that's the demand right now all across the country. The prices do vary, but the demand is up. It is summer. The summer months are coming along. I feel terrible about charging these prices because I have a hard time with a lot of my customers.
All right, now, tell me about that. Ooh, you have a hard time with your customers.
Well, I think if you read the newspaper, you realize that the people that buy gasoline are giving money directly to the enemy. And the money that the Saudi Arabians and others make on the sale of gas to fund various terrorist organizations. And right now, I have a son serving with a parachute regiment in northern Iraq. He's with the 1st Battalion of the United States Army, and he's over there because we need to stabilize the Middle East because that's where all the oil is.
But you say that you don't like your customers, but you sell the gasoline.
I sell the gas. Let me tell you a story. I sell gasoline, Mr. Henry, because of a wonderful lady by the name of Helen Dozier, who is my mother. And this lady is in a hospital right now, in a senior hospice right now, dying of lung cancer. And I am the sole source of money to pay her medical bills. And that is why, sir, that I sell gasoline. My mother took over this business when my father passed away.
And so you're selling gas, you're supporting your mother.
That is exactly correct, sir. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Out of necessity for your family.
Yes, sir. And I'm not selling gasoline. In other words, I'm not taking a trip to grandma's house. Okay.
All right, I understand. Now, you mentioned that you had your eyes opened by the candidacy of Arianna Huffington. She had an ad that basically said the same thing. Every gallon of gas you buy, you're funding terrorists.
I was watching one of Ms. Huffington's campaign commercials, and boy, she did open my eyes to the reality. The American people this summer will come into my gas station. They will gas up their recreational vehicle. They will gas up their sports utility vehicle. They will spend $1.50, $2, $2.54, maybe even $3 a gallon. And as they drive off on their new tank of gas that will last maybe 200 miles, 300 miles, I, in turn, will write a check that will go directly to a terrorist training camp. And possibly within 6 months, that very family that gassed up at my station will be blown to bits by a terrorist who learned his craft in part with the money that they contributed. So they have blown themselves to bits willingly. And how can you like human beings like that? And let's take our trip to the Grand Canyon, and 6 months later I can roll over on my side in a pool of my own blood, staring at one of my own arms about 50 yards away.
Mr. Dozier, I want to ask you, I'm not trying to make you angry, okay?
But when you bring up my mother, sir,
I am sorry that you are supporting a sick mother. I can't say you aren't making some sense, but you are the one selling the gasoline. You are the one making a profit. You write the check. You could cut down on your profit margin. Wouldn't you? Are you not culpable?
Yeah, I could cut down on my profit margin, sir, yes, but the Arabs are not going to cut down on their profit margin, okay? All right, you're right, I do sell the gas, but if I don't, somebody else will, okay? I'm the only one selling gas who has the courage to say what other owner-operators think, and that's that they don't like these people that come in, gas up as if they own the place, and that money is going over there that could kill my son and other men's sons. And you say I'm culpable, you say I'm guilty. If I am guilty, the American people with their bloodlust for gasoline kill their own soldiers every day.
And but sir, you know, I understand the idea. In fact, I agree. But you are in that chain.
Sir, again,
You're in that chain of responsibility.
No. I am supporting a beautiful woman by the name of Helen Dozier.
I know she is your mother.
Allow me the respect to tell the story of this lady who took over a gas station from a husband who had passed away and left two young sons. And she built this service station up. And I'll tell you something right now. My mother's got nothing to do with this, and I think that anyone that wants to drag my mother into this...
I don't want to drag your mother into it.
Good. Because...
But some of that money that you're making, the money you make goes to your mother, yes. It also goes to the Arabs.
I am not responsible the way some guy is who comes in and gasses his car up and goes off to where's he going? He's going to go up to Santa Barbara with some new secretary that he's going to be cheating on his wife with to stay at some hotel? Is that what you mean? I am talking about supporting a beautiful mother of 86 years of age who is dying of lung cancer because the tobacco companies lied through their teeth about the effects of tobacco on the lungs. And every cent I earn goes to keep my suffering mother alive for another day, just another day, that she can bring so much in everyone's lives. She spits up blood. They have to mop it up with paper towels. People come in and buy their gasoline. And where are they going? They're going out probably to take some slut up to a vacation in Santa Barbara. So I don't...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Can you hold with me, sir?
Yes, sir.
1-800-449-8686. I want to ask my audience, do you feel responsible for the carnage in the Middle East? And do you understand, I suppose, this man's... You said to my producer, Janice, you hate your customers.
I do have a level of hatred for them, yes, sir. But it's not unlike what a lot of owner-operators feel. You see them coming in, you know they're contributing to the terrorist organizations. And our guys are over there right now trying to clean that up. It wasn't always like this.
Why be in business at all when you hate your customers? Why not do something else?
Well, like I said, it wasn't always like this.
But it is now. Why do you stay in business?
Why am I still in business? Because I have to be in business.
But because of your mother?
Because of a beautiful woman of 86 years of age who's dying slowly of lung cancer because the tobacco companies are liars.
But what the tobacco companies did to your mother, the oil companies are doing to all of us, don't you think?
The oil companies are not doing it to us. The Arabs are doing it to us. They're the ones that are charging the price per barrel of oil that is causing us to spend the money that we are. Now, I don't have to spend that money. If I had this, if I was Mr. Joe Blow out here in the public, all right, and...
I got to tell you, can I just interrupt you?
What?
It's refreshing to hear a gas station owner talk this way, but by the same token, I don't know how you stay in business hating your customers.
I hate every last one of them because of the fact... I don't hate them I hate them in general because of the fact that my boy is in the United States Army... Parachute Regiment, 1st Battalion, Northern Iraq. Now, some Al-Qaeda piece of crap is probably going to kill my son. I have already made up my mind my boy's not coming back. And you want to know why? Because he got money. And where did he get the money? He got it from Saudi Arabia. And where did Saudi Arabia get the money? They got it from the sale of oil. And where did that go? That went to the United States. And who paid for that oil? You got it, Mr. and Mrs. Automobile Driver of America. And my boy won't come back from Iraq because of that. And now you tell me that I can't take care of a dying mother? The money I earn from selling gasoline goes to keep a very dear old woman alive. Those other gas stations' money goes straight to a terrorist training camp to blow a 4-year-old child into hamburger meat. And you find all of this to be amusing?
No, sir, I do not.
Well, the tenor of your question, sir.
No, sir, I do not find it amusing. I understand. And if you don't want to accept responsibility...
No, sir, I do not. And I'm surprised that the conversation has gone that way. I blame the gasoline consumers of America.
All right, sir. 1-800-449-8686. I have to ask, and pardon me, folks, and I ask publicly now to my producer whether it's a good idea to keep a man on the air who is, he seems to be emotionally distraught. Mr. Vernon Dozier is a owner-operator of a service station who says he finds fault with his customers for even coming in and buying his gas because he says that price, that money is going to, it's going to Al-Qaeda and it's going to kill our soldiers and the American people are culpable. He does not share in their responsibility because the money he makes goes to help his mother who's dying of lung cancer. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. It seems the question is very clear. Are we responsible? Every time we buy a gallon of gasoline, are we responsible for the terror that threatens the world? Is this man, in all of his angst over a sick mother and a son who could die in Iraq, is he right? 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the Phil Hendry.
You're GD right, I'm right.
Could we keep him under keep him on hold, please? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The triumph of intelligence over ignorance. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
But the lady was traumatized.
Well, sir, she might have been traumatized, but I did show pictures because I felt it was important for people to understand what they were doing to their country.
And by the way, I'm talking with Vernon Doge. For those of you who just joined us, this is a man who is a gas station operator. But you have to admit you're unusual. You don't like your customers because you realize, according to you, that buying gasoline sends money to terrorists.
Yeah, that's not according to me. It does. It goes to Saudi Arabians who support Al Qaeda, and Al Qaeda murdered our troops. Now, showing that woman the picture of that dead civilian from the World Trade Center, the remains in the World Trade Center, if that can help send a message.
But you're showing a picture to customers of victims of terrorism who are just coming in to get gasoline.
Yeah.
Isn't that you talk about an unwanted intrusion into somebody's day.
An unwanted intrusion? Are you trying to tell me that some soccer mom who wants to shove another $60 into the gas tank of her SUV shouldn't at least see the victim of her random violence? Because
wait a second, she's buying gasoline to pick her kids up. And
she may be buying gasoline, but I just got done telling you. And I am...
Mr. Dozier, don't talk to me like I'm stupid, sir, okay?
Don't talk to me with disrespect about my mother, okay?
I understand your mother's dying of cancer. I understand you have to sell gasoline to support her and that you wouldn't if it wasn't for her. But the fact is, this is a lady, this woman who is at least involved in the in this class action lawsuit, said you walked up to her with a very graphic photo of someone who had been blown to bits in a terrorist bombing and said, this is what you're helping perpetrate.
Yeah.
And you don't feel bad about that?
No, I don't.
And you don't feel bad about the fact she had three kids in the car?
No, I do not. I do feel bad about one of the children, I think, vomited. I'm sorry about that.
Well, one of the kids got sick, looking at the picture, yeah.
But all I said to the kid was,
Well, it is the witnesses were quoted that you taunted the child.
I leaned over the kid and I said, yeah, that's right. And I walked away. Why should I feel bad about the truth? I think it's the American people that feel bad about the truth. I think that's what we're getting at right here. And I think that's it makes me feel good that I'm making maybe some of your listeners uncomfortable. And I'm going to tell you again, I got an 86-year-old mother.
Yeah, dying of lung cancer.
That's correct, yes.
Tina, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Dozier, I can really hear a lot of... sadness and fear and frustration in your voice, but I'm driving down the road now, and I'm not a slut going to Santa Monica, and I'm not even bringing my three kids home. I'm buying gas so that I can, because I drove down because my father's dying from lung cancer.
Oh, all right. So you got you're justified, huh?
Well, you know what? Do you
you're
ever
justified,
buy gas?
Huh?
Do you drive anywhere?
So you're the one human being out in America that's justified, and whatever happens in terms of terrorism, that's okay with you because you get to own gas, huh?
Well, no, but everybody who drives is not a bad person.
Everybody that buys gasoline.
I bet
gasoline,
you drive. Do you drive your mother to the doctor?
Everybody that buys gasoline is funding terrorists, and that
you're funding
and
them
that
too.
I'm spending money on my mother who is dying of lung cancer. All right.
My father's dying of lung cancer.
Let me quote a very inspiring movie to you. You can't handle the truth, see? And that's right. And that's why I'm getting such a kick out of this. I'm getting a kick out of this because the American people are finally hearing.
You sound like a man with a lot of bitterness, okay? Despite what this lady said, sadness, you just sound like you're angry.
I'm angry at the fact that my boy He's in the United States Army Parachute Regiment, 1st Battalion in Northern Iraq, and is probably going to die
because
of this lady, because of this lady buying her gas so she can go off to the market or to bingo or whatever she does.
Well, I was going to take care of my father who has lung cancer.
I'm going to tell you something. As far as I'm concerned, this woman here is just trying to jump on the bandwagon that everybody is innocent. Okay.
Why should you take care of your mother, but I can't take care of my father?
I can tell you right now, lady, the sound of your voice, if you came into my gas station, I would show you a picture of a kid blown into hamburger meat.
Well,
and we'll see whether or not you want to buy yourself a gallon of my gasoline.
Boy, well, you better stop selling it then. Maybe you better stop selling it.
No, I'm not going to stop selling it. I'm supporting a mother.
Well, get another job. You can get a different job.
No, this is my career. Why should I give it up?
Well, so what?
Okay. This is my career.
Too bad. Change your career.
I think it makes you angry, doesn't it?
I think you can change your career.
It makes you angry that you're supporting terrorists.
I do not subscribe to the opinion that all these people are bad enough to hate. I would subscribe to the opinion that maybe we're all making a mistake not doing something about the gasoline situation.
Well, you're a talk show host, and you have to pander to these people.
Excuse me, Mr. Dozier.
I'm not pandering to anybody, okay?
Mr. Dozier?
No, you have to pander to these people and pretend like you agree with them. But I'm hearing something. What is that?
Mr. Dozier, I was thinking maybe I should ride my bicycle 1,600 miles so I can take care of my father.
That sounds like a good idea. It'd probably work some of that
cellulite
off your body.
Okay, it's about a good idea of you getting a new career.
I tell you what, do you have any idea what Helen Dozier's been through, my mother?
Probably the same thing my dad.
Depression, being left a widow and having to raise my retarded.
Probably the same thing my dad went through, because his.
Mr. Dozier, I understand you're upset. But this lady has been trying to make the point that her father's sick.
I don't give a sweet Christ whether her father's sick or not. I'm talking about my mother is dying of lung cancer. I'm not talking about her father not being able to hold it, so she's got to run to the store and get another package of diapers. I'm talking about a woman. My mother, Helen Dozier, lived through the Depression.
Yes, sir.
World War II.
Yes, sir.
She was left a widow.
Yes, sir.
Had to raise my retarded brother.
I understand.
And all why? Why? Because my father died. No wonder she smoked.
Well, you see, and then you blame the tobacco companies.
Why wouldn't I?
So it's everybody else's fault but yours.
Mr. Henry, I take responsibility when I'm wrong, but I don't happen to be wrong. They're wrong, not me. They're wrong.
Vernon Dozier joins us. He is the owner-operator of a gas station. He hates his customers. It's as plain as that. And he hates them because he knows every time they buy a gallon of gasoline, their money goes to Saudi Arabia, which eventually winds up in the hands of Al-Qaeda, which has already murdered many thousands of our own citizens and are at present battling our own troops in Iraq. You see it as some kind of treason, don't you?
Oh, my God. I mean, you'd have to be the stupidest human being on earth not to see it. And I think Arianna Huffington, when she ran for governor of the state of California, I think she hit it dead on. We are funding the very people that are killing our sons and daughters.
And you don't see any connection at all?
If you bring up the fact that I'm responsible one more time, I've already mentioned Helen Dozier.
I'm just saying, you don't see any connection between you selling the gas that eventually...
My mother is 86 years of age, dying from lung rot because my father drank himself to death. Every Tuesday, I bring my mother down to the gas station to remind her of the good old days when she ran it. And I look at her, and I look at my dim-witted brother, and I just break down and I cry. And he stands there going, "Can I see the lube rack go up and down? Can I see the lube rack go up and down?" And all I want to do is...
I understand, sir. 1-800-449-8686. American soldiers dying in Iraq at the hands of an Al-Qaeda that is funded by oil money made in the United States. Do you feel responsible? 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Get a piece of fat and slide off. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Mr. Vernon Dozier joins us. He is a gas station owner-operator in Lancaster, California. He's talking with us about oil and gasoline and some very heavy things that owner-operators, I don't often hear them talk about it, but there's no love lost between you and your customers, Mr. Dozier.
That is correct.
Because you feel those people are buying gasoline that eventually be turned into money that will kill American troops at the hands of Al-Qaeda in Iraq and has killed Americans.
That is absolutely correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. I simply want to ask you, and then we're going to go to a couple more calls. The idea of showing your customers the pictures of terrorist atrocities, isn't that something that is going to harm even the innocent, even children?
Well, let me tell you what I think about children. I see these cars pulling, especially this summer. We're going to see a lot of cars pulling in. And, man, they're going to do it again to me. You know, they're going to...
What is that?
They're going to come skipping out of their car the way these little kids will skip and run. Come skipping on in, and I'm thinking, our boys are dying in Iraq at the hands of scum that bought their weapons with money the Arabs gave them that they earned in the United States. And here comes some brat. Yes, sir, I did say the word brat.
Some innocent child.
I don't care. This is the brat of someone who is buying gasoline, and they come skipping in and buying their, you know, their code red Mountain Dew. And I've got my brother, Jeffrey, who sits in the lube bay with me when we drop him off. Sometimes we get him 2 days a week. And he'll sit there, and the kids come in and go, ha, ha, look at the retard, ha, ha, look at the retard. And all Jeffrey, he's a sweet boy. All he says is, you know, he makes a threatening motion at him with a wrench. Because I told him, I said, you shouldn't take all that grief from these brats. And Jeffrey, so he makes pretend like he wants to break their skulls open with a wrench, you know, which I said.
Is he violent?
No, just because he's a retard doesn't make him violent. See, that's the second assumption you've made.
Sir, I'm not trying to make any assumptions at all, okay? You've said that these brats, as you call them, the children of people buying gasoline from you, are just as responsible for the terrorist deaths as people buying gasoline.
Well, you ought to see them skip. And there is something about a child skipping. When it is a kid skipping happily in the middle of a place that sells a product that will then transform the dollars into terrorist dollars, and that very child that was skipping to go get a Yoo-Hoo on the opposite side of the earth is dog chow when one of those bombs go off.
Jeez.
That's right, yeah. Uh-huh, you got it. And I'm the one with the retarded brother and the mother dying of lung cancer. And you're all in pain.
No, sir, I'm not in pain. I just, your anger. Here is John. Go ahead, John. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I was just wondering. You said you didn't want to bring your mom into the conversation, but every 2 minutes you keep bringing her into it. Why is that?
Why are you bringing her into it?
Because every 2 minutes you keep bringing her into it.
Let me see.
You sell cigarettes at your store, do you not?
I beg your pardon?
You sell cigarettes at your convenience store, do you not?
In the snack shop, of course I do.
Okay, so you, in a sense, killed your own mom.
No, I didn't. I've never sold her. She
don't sell cigarettes. You sell cigarettes in your store.
That's got nothing to do with it. My mother's dying of lung cancer.
You support the cigarette store.
My mother's dying of lung cancer.
My dying mother was sitting in her wheelchair
in her regular spot by the door, watching the cars come in and out to get gas, and this one happy-go-lucky yuppie B-I-T-C-H came up and put a $5 bill in her coffee cup like she was a hobo. Now, you tell me that wouldn't make you mad.
But you sell cigarettes, so
are you still on that cigarette kick?
No, the guy's making a point, though. Why are you selling cigarettes?
I came on your program, Mr. Henry, to make a point about the Al-Qaeda scum that is being funded by the garbage that buys gasoline at my gas station.
And you're calling your customers garbage?
Well, what else would you call people that willingly give money to terrorists?
You're just as bad as these terrorists selling gas.
How do you figure that?
You're just as bad as these terrorists selling gas.
No, sir.
Yes,
no,
you are.
No,
you're
I'm not.
As much as accountable as everybody else. You buy gas to get to work, do you not?
No, I ride a bicycle. I live behind the gas station. No, sir. I live in a townhome behind. I live in a townhome about a block away from my gas station.
Well,
Okay, so there you
go. You still buy gas to go to the grocery store, everywhere else you got to go, so you support the terrorists too?
No.
You support
I'm
them
supporting
by
my mother's dying of lung. My mother's dying of lung cancer. That's who I support.
Well,
and I got
fine.
A retarded brother.
Your mother can die of lung cancer. You put her in there by
right.
selling cigarettes in your store.
No, I didn't, because she didn't buy any cigarettes in my store.
I think you're an arrogant, bullheaded
sir,
pig.
Can I say something? This is the type
you
of guy.
You kill your mom.
You know, sir,
and you don't want to take responsibility for it. You're full of crap.
Sir, you're the kind of guy that'd come into my gas station, make my retarded brother come out and hunt for nails in his tire. There's my
your
brother.
Your retarded brother, what'd you do to your... You must have hit him in the head with one of those beer bottles or something.
My brother sits there peacefully in the lube bay, wiping his the slot.
Well, I'm sorry about your brother, but you put your mom in the hospital
he
by selling
there.
Cigarettes in your...
Have you ever had to look at your brother sitting wiping a slobber from his chin with an oil rag?
I'd help my brother wipe the slobber off his chin with a oil rag if I had a retarded brother. Instead of being on here making a fool of myself, saying that everybody else is responsible for this war over in Iraq, well, you put
wait a second. Are you okay? Let's say I am responsible. Give my mother lung cancer. Don't you then feel you're responsible for the terrorists?
No.
Oh, you see now you're a liar. You're bullheaded. You're bullheaded.
So I'm not responsible.
Yeah, you are. You buy gasoline, so you're bullheaded too.
I don't have a license. How can I buy gasoline if I don't drive?
Mr. Ender, you didn't inform me that this kid...
I don't know how old he is. How old are you, John?
I'm 23.
And you don't have a license?
Not anymore. I lost it.
Oh, so you're a drinker.
I used to be, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You drink. Okay.
I used to drink.
All right, so then I apologize to you. I didn't know that you didn't drive, all right?
Wait a minute. The guy's a drinker. He's a drunk driver.
I've got no problem with a man like that. None at all.
Yes, well, I was a drunk driver, and yes, that's the reason I lost my
did
life.
Did you kill anybody, sir?
God.
Did you kill
no.
anybody? You didn't kill anyone?
Well,
thank
I don't
God
care.
I got pulled over and arrested before
well,
I
man's allowed to. Man's allowed to take a drink, as far as I'm concerned.
But wait just a minute. You said...
Don't get down on this guy because he drinks. Anyway, John, you're still a piece of crap, but...
I'm still a piece of crap.
Yeah, you are.
You're killing your own mom.
I ain't
you're
killing my mother.
A piece of crap.
Yeah.
All right, listen, John, thank you very much. And I hope you get your license back, man. Watch that drinking and driving, okay?
You down on this guy for drinking and driving again?
You think people ought to drink and drive?
Yes. Especially if they're me. For 26 years, my brother's job has been to yell ding, ding when a car pulls up.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Jeffrey takes old hubcaps and places them on his head and says he's a flying saucer, he's a man from space, that kind of deal. You know, he has fun. And when the cars come in, I said, I'll tell you what, Jeffrey, I'll pull the rubber strip back in. I pull in the rubber sensor strip, and I said, you yell ding-ding when a car comes in. So for 26 years, and the man is now, and Jeffrey's my brother, okay? He's only about 2 years younger than me, so the man's now 53 years of age, and he sits in a folding chair that we bought over here at the, at Kmart. And when cars pull in, he goes, ding-ding. I go, all right, Jeffrey, thanks a lot. Here comes another car. And I've lived with this freak show. I've lived with this freak show for years.
How about blaming your mother and your brother?
I will never blame my mother and my brother. My mother is a beautiful woman. Spitting up blood, yeah. Even spitting up blood, she's beautiful. And my brother, God bless him. And that other guy was wrong. I do help wipe the slobber off of his chin. No, it isn't their fault. It's the fault of that two-bit bastard that's coming in by the gasoline. A lot of time.
Jeffrey, burn it time, Franks and Beans.
Hold on for a minute, Phil.
What's that? It's dinner time, Franks and Beans.
I gotta have dinner now, Phil.
Is that Jeffrey?
Yes, it is. It's Jeffrey. Yeah, say hello to Mr. Henry.
Franks and Beans.
All right, he just said hello to you.
So he just says, he calls you for dinner and...
And he sits in a chair, and I got it over here at the Walmart. You know, they have those folding stadium chairs you can get in this place and keep it cooler. But I got it for him, so he can sit in the lube bay and you know, for kicks, he'll like I said, I'll let him sit on a lube rack. We just got done doing a front end job, so I let him ride up and down on that, you know.
All right, sir. Well, thank you very much. Considering your plight in life, I guess I can understand your anger. I just would hope that you'd be a little bit easier going on people. They're buying gasoline, yes. The money does go to fund terrorists, yes. But maybe we'll learn and maybe we'll...
Yeah, and maybe Jeffrey's going to become... maybe Jeffrey's line is Pauling, too. Yeah, sure. Right. Maybe my brother is going to turn into Dr. Jonas Salk. Yeah, I got a brother that takes an oil pan, puts it on his head, and you know, sings the theme from The Wizard of Oz, and you think this guy's going to turn into some brain surgeon? No, I don't think so.
All right, I'm sorry.
Jesus.
Sorry, sir. Well, there is Vernon Dozier with a world of hurt, man, is all I can say. That cat's got a world of hurt. 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Henry Show. We got a Dean Wheeler and a Jim Sadler flashback. Wow, are we going to be able to get to those? Well, we'll see. Flashbacks from yesterday's show. Jim Sadler was on our show. Dr. Jim Sadler, a dentist who doesn't like listening to people crying about how the needle hurts. He jams it in even deeper. It's coming up on the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Stepping over the line. Nate. The Phil Henry Show is back. Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I think he's drinking because earlier it was he didn't call her a brat and it was only $7,000 worth of braces.
I'm speaking of two different women. I'm speaking of two different people. My family practice.
I am terrified of dentists, but it has nothing to do with needles. Absolutely nothing. And I have found a wonderful dentist and I've been with him for years.
Well, why are you afraid of dentists?
It's the smell, it's the sound, it's not being in control.
It's a phobia. It's a phobia, like, I have a fear of heights.
Oh, look, Mr. Henry, don't start making her feel better but because you're afraid of... A fear of heights is understandable. If you fall, you'll die. A fear of a Novocaine needle? This is nuts.
Well, let me ask you this. If you hate your job, the patients, the whining, then why do you do it?
If they don't like the dentist, why do they come to one? See, they need me more, and all I need is a drill and a cotton ball to stop the bleeding, and I'm one hell of a dentist.
So you're pretty much in it for the money because you sound miserable.
Listen to this, Lisa. Bet you that makes you nervous, doesn't it?
No.
Okay, so what's the point?
Does it make you nervous?
No, because you're an ass, and asses don't scare me.
Ow. That doesn't make you nervous.
What is the point, sir?
Well, I'll tell you what the point is. If you don't like needles, you can go down here to Long Beach.
I donate blood 3 times a year. I'm not afraid of needles.
You go down here to Long Beach. They got some credit dentists that work down there. These guys are top-notch. They'll deal with a cavity by filing your teeth down because they've got more experience filing down the buck teeth of those Chinamen that are coming off of every freighter in from Harbin.
Is this caller even real?
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm telling you, Mr. Henry, that the Alliance for Dental Progress, noting the suicides among dentists, is tired of it.
If this is really a true call,
Are you really a caller?
I would ask, because I'm kind of agreeing with the caller, are you putting us on?
I beg your pardon, sir.
Are you making a joke?
What have I said that is a joke? The fact that I've got colleagues that are killing themselves, does the lady find that funny?
No, I would just want you to be at the front of the line if this is sincere.
You want to be at the front of the line for what?
No, you.
The front of the line for what? For you?
No.
What are you talking
about? I've got my dentist.
I wasn't speaking in terms of dental matters.
No, you were speaking in terms of suicide.
Did you ever see the movie Marathon Man?
No.
In that film, Dustin Hoffman plays a writer who runs afoul of a Nazi who worked in a concentration camp as a dentist. Now, you can well imagine the sadism. And yet, when I go to see that film and I watch Laurence Olivier drilling Dustin Hoffman's teeth without the use of anesthetic, there's a release. I get a release.
Well, then, obviously, you're not happy in your position.
Is it safe?
Obviously, you are not happy if you have to watch a movie to get a release.
You're getting some kind of a kick out of watching some sadist drill a guy's teeth?
And you're getting excited playing a little drill in the bar in front of me?
No, ma'am. I do work on the guys. These are real men around here. They get in a bar fight, teeth come out, I drill them, they're done, they go home.
All right, the teeth come out, you drill the teeth that come out?
No, I do not. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm just going to play the drill now.
Yeah, Mr. Henry,
what are we doing here?
Well, she doesn't want to believe what I... Hey, listen, you remember the line, is it safe? Is it safe, Lisa?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, hey, you're clueless. My mom's in a wheelchair. We're big sports fans. And we, when we go to the games, we sit where they tell us to sit. If I want to sit courtside with my mom at a Sonics game, I can't, because those seats aren't available. I have to sit in the limited wheelchair seats. I can't sit in the upper level because there's no access for a wheelchair to get to the upper levels. I have to sit where they tell me. And I don't get a discount. I pay $50 a seat at a Mariners game at the wheelchair seat, the same price that the guy in front of me pays.
But the concourse seats, hold on, the concourse seats at the Staples Center are sweet. These seats are $200. I mean, they're sweet.
Well, so do you know exactly how much that person in the wheelchair paid for their seat, or you're just assuming that he gets a discount because he eats hot dogs out of the package?
Well, the guy's got to get some kind of a discount.
Do you know how much he paid for his seat?
Look, if the guy gets in before anybody else, don't you think he's going to get some kind of a cripple's discount or something?
Do you know how much he paid for
his seat? Cripple's
did he
discount?
Pay less for seat? If I have a four-year-old kid who eats pudding and hot dogs and likes pony rides, and I pay him to the game, and he makes an idiot out of himself sitting courtside.
That's a good point.
Isn't that my right to bring my little kid who's immature and stupid and sit courtside if I pay for the seat?
I think it's a sad commentary that a great sports fan has to sit up so high that he gets a hernia or an aneurysm.
What do you mean the transport fans sit up high? The transport fans
and your kid
can't afford courtside seats, and they go and they sit up high. Those are the true sports fans. You're telling me the guy in the upper level cheering his ass off is a bad sports fan?
No, I'm saying it's a shame. It's a shame that a good sports fan has to have a brain aneurysm sitting so high up in the seats, and your kid sucking pudding getting a $300 seat.
And what's the elevation at the Staples Center? What, the top seat is what, maybe 500 feet? You don't get thin air till you're thousands of feet.
Are you telling me that Jack Nicholson is a...
You don't get nosebleeds from sitting at the top of the Staples Center down at sea level.
Well, you tell that to the gentleman that I was sitting next to last season who suddenly had a heart attack.
Oh,
well, that's
he had
not
a heart attack because he was sitting... any skyscraper, any building in L.A. is higher elevation than the top seat of the Staples Center.
That's what the Jerry Lewis telethon does, Mr. Hendry. It empowers
Jerry
guys
Lewis
like this.
Has no
it gives
effect on any of this.
People $200 seats at Laker games, and I think the public should know that.
What the hell does Jerry Lewis have to do with any of this?
I said what I was going to say. I'm not saying that your mother isn't entitled to sit at a basketball game, but then you bring up your three-year-old kid who's eating pudding and tying balloons around his thing, and I'm
and that's my right. If I want to pay $1,000 to sit courtside with my four-year-old
if I could jump in, it sounds to me, Mr. Green, like you think really good sports fans should have the really good seats, and people that don't quite get the game or who are perhaps more passive fans should sit in the worst seats.
I think that's ultimately what we're looking for. Right now, though, we're starting with these people that are slobbering on their shirts and all of that. Get them out of there.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
1-800-449-8666. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Tonight we talk about teen suicide with a father who has lived through this nightmare and as a result has done some educating not only of himself but of others. Art Griego is a private pilot from Santa Monica, California, and he joins us on our newsmaker line right now. Art, good evening.
Good evening, Phil.
Why did you become interested in this topic of teen suicide?
Phil, I was struck after reading an article in the New York Times that the teen suicide rate had tripled since 1970, and that seemed very excessive to me.
That's a lot of a lot of kids over the last 30 years.
Well, every hour and 45 minutes, another young person commits suicide. And as I was reading this article, it dawned on me that my daughter Madison had attempted suicide twice after she turned 14.
Man.
And so I got together with other parents of young people and generally preteen to teenage kids who had attempted suicide in the last 2 to 3 years. What we found was a pattern that became evident. Kids that attempt or they're successful at suicide do not easily fit into social situations and patterns. We discussed why that was, and we came to the conclusion...
they're kind of social outcasts?
Well, not so much social outcasts, that these kids that try and kill themselves recognize that they don't fit in because they are not as intelligent as the other kids. In fact, most of them are, to use the phrase, they're pretty stupid, and you know, to use plain English, and they realize how stupid they are, and they decide to try and kill themselves.
This is a matter of intelligence, not emotional strength?
Exactly, and we've been led to believe that it's drugs and alcohol.
Well, we've been led to believe it's a lot of things. Drugs, alcohol, self-esteem.
Well, self-esteem is part of it, but it's not self-esteem because they're not good-looking or because they don't wear the right kind of clothes or because their parents don't come from the right side of the tracks. Kids generally want to kill themselves because they recognize that they are so ignorant and dumb that they'll never fit in, and hence they try to kill themselves as almost a natural way of trying to make the gene pool more intelligent. For my part, I can give an example. My daughter Madison, who's a sweet girl, but she's almost an imbecile. The smallest projects in school, she can't pass her driver's test. So she tried to kill herself 3 times.
So kids try to kill themselves because they're are you saying they're ashamed of being idiots?
Well, not because they're idiots, but because they're ashamed of being idiots, yes. And there's a very fine line. When I was thinking about it, and I realized that if a child is at least smart enough to know how stupid they really are, maybe there's hope for them to get a little bit brighter and a little brighter and eventually smart enough not to feel like they have to kill themselves.
We're talking with Art Griego about teen suicide. So you've talked with other adults. Kids that try to kill themselves realize that they're too dumb and they're embarrassed by it, or?
Well, embarrassed.
So let me ask you this. How do kids get smarter? Is it better grades, being smarter?
Let me give you an example. My daughter, Madison, attempted to hang... It's tough to talk about, but she attempted to hang herself when she was 13. And thank God she wasn't successful.
Absolutely.
But the reason why she wasn't successful, we have an old-fashioned garage where there are a lot of 2x4 crossbeams near the roof. And she tied a sheet around one that wasn't supported. And, yeah, I can laugh about it now, but my daughter was so dumb that she stepped off the hood of our car and the beam broke. And I mean, this is how dumb she was.
All right, so we're talking about getting kids. So she was not successful at killing herself because she was too...
She was too stupid to realize the beam that she'd attached the sheet to. And here is what I did, and I realize now it sort of sounds funny, but I told her, I said, you know, thank God you're not dead. But honey, you were so stupid, you used an unsupported beam. So I took her back in the garage, and I showed her the different beam that would have supported her had she used it. It seems funny, but you just wonder how I got a kid that stupid. And that's when you come down to step two of the process. You realize, I'm not a stupid man. I own my own business. That leaves, gee, let me guess, my wife, Anne, of 17 years.
All right. Talking with Art Griego, 1-800-449-8686. Now we're getting off into blaming the wife.
Well, not entirely. But, yes, my wife is pretty dumb, and I think that's where my daughter inherited a lot of that.
All right, Art Griego with us, a father of a girl who attempted suicide 3 times, and she wasn't successful. In part because she was too dumb to know how to kill herself?
Well, we laugh about it now, but it was the case at that time, yes.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Rather than get into the blame game, the point is you're claiming that kids are trying to kill themselves because they're embarrassed at being so stupid. Your own daughter, you say, was so stupid she tried to hang herself from a beam that broke. Okay?
That is correct, yeah.
And you say that if a kid is smart enough to know how stupid he is, there is hope. How do we proceed with that hope?
Well, we have to get them into job training immediately. And this is what I've emphasized with the parents that I've talked to take them out of the environment where they feel inferior with kids that are smarter than them, and begin to train them for the service sector jobs that they'll be most happy at, whether it's working in a restaurant or at sanitation or whether they're delivery services. My daughter Madison has the very typical, and she wants to be an actress, and in our house we all have, all we got to do is take her into the garage and point at the broken beam. And she, and you know, she laughs, and the point is made. And you say something, you still want to be an actress, and we point at the beam that she tried to hang herself from, and she laughs, and we talk to her about what she can do. We want to take her out of school as early as next fall, and she's been promised a job by a gentleman who owns a dry cleaning business, and she can drive the delivery van. And this is what you call giving a kid a realistic goal.
All right, tell me about this program you have, the Troubled Teen Job Bank, for kids that are too stupid, I guess, to compete and are trying to kill themselves.
Well, these are jobs, kids who have attempted suicide because they understand, at least in basic terms, how dumb they are. The Troubled Teen Job Bank has listings for jobs for these kids: house cleaning, domestic animal care, dog walking, pet sitting, the car wash business, delivery job for a liquor store, grocery stores. There's window washing jobs, brush clearance, fruit and vegetable picking, and janitorial service. What we most need to do is give our teens that have attempted suicide a fighting chance. Tell them you can live a happy life so long as you're working within your limits. But when you're dumb and people can see that you're dumb, and don't push negativity on these kids. But we can really help them if we make them realize, you know,
just how dumb they are.
Well, that is
why. Why don't people just not say, "Hey, you're stupid"? How about a little kindness?
Well, then you're asking people to be dishonest. You're asking them to see a stupid person and not say anything, and that's bad for a kid. The best thing to do is to say, as I did with my daughter Madison, I said, "Honey, thank God you're alive. But do you realize what you did? You tied the bed sheet to an unsupported beam in our garage, and it broke when you tried to hang yourself. How dumb can you be?" And we all get a big laugh out of that. And like I say, she's got a job interview next week with a guy who will let her drive a delivery van for the...
So you're taking her out of school?
That is correct, yeah.
Don't you see any... So there's no hope in her staying in school?
Phil, there really isn't. The kid's just not smart enough. And so rather than have her try and kill herself again, which I'm sure we don't want to have that happen, so I'd rather have her drive laundry to a lot of places. But you shouldn't force kids into academia, especially when they're so dumb they can't even hang themselves, or even, God forbid, she would know how to.
Well, that's just it. If she was smart enough, she would have been successful at hanging herself.
If she was smart enough, she never would have tried it.
All right, okay.
See, that's the basic difference.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Kids, teens are attempting suicide because we're missing the point. They are, in essence, so stupid that they're kind of embarrassed by their stupidity and would rather just kill themselves. In his own daughter's case, she was so dumb that she couldn't even hang herself properly, and so they're taking her out of school, putting her in an environment where other people are sort of like her, same intelligence, driving a delivery van for laundry service. He mentioned other jobs, brush clearance, window washing, and pet sitting. 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Rose. Rose, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego.
Hi, I have a comment for you. Your daughter, she's 13.
She's 14. Yeah, she's 14.
14. Okay, you're blaming this on because she's stupid, she's dumb.
Yes.
But did you ever wonder where she's getting these ideas from?
Her mother is not very bright.
Well, no, that's not a very good thing to say, because it's not on somebody else's lack of intelligence. It's on being a good parent and being a bad parent. If you're going to tell your daughter she's stupid and she's dumb, those are negative words. If you want someone to feel good about themselves, you don't use negative words.
I'm just telling her what she already knows. I'm telling her what she already knows.
Well, she already knows that because she's having somebody tell her that. That's what she knows. She was never taught any different.
And she would never try to commit suicide if she thought she was smart.
She was smart, if she had somebody giving her hope and letting her know that it's okay to dream and it's okay to have ambition, how could you tell your daughter that she cannot be an actress?
Because the proof, Rose, is then she tried to hang herself from a beam that broke.
And then you're going to laugh and you're going to make a comment out of that?
No. We're laughing about it now. I mean, all I got to say, you want to be an actress, huh? Take a look, and there's a busted, you can see the 2x4 hanging down. And we got a big laugh out of it.
Build from that. You should build from that. Okay, honey, you want to be an actress? Let's help you. Let's study. Let's learn the background of what an actress
is. Have you
does.
Ever contemplated...
too stupid to be an actress.
When you were young, Rose, did you ever contemplate suicide?
No, I did not.
You didn't?
But I went through a depressed time in my life,
okay.
But I've never thought...
But
that's because I had people to tell me it's going to be okay, and you're a wonderful person, and you're a strong person.
Oh, I'm not saying she is
before.
A wonderful person. She's a wonderful person, and we tell her that. We just tell her that she's dumb, and she goes, I know. Why do you think I tried to kill myself?
But she shouldn't do that. She should have enough self-confidence that she built up because of herself and because of the people that were raising her to say, no, I'm not a dumb person, and no, I'm not a stupid person.
One of the reasons why you suffered depression early in your life is you might have had a sense that you were kind of, you know, you were kind of stupid, and it depressed you.
I was a straight-A student my whole life. I am not stupid. I'm 20 years old. You said you were a successful businessman?
Yes, ma'am.
I think I have a little more common sense than you. I'm 20. You don't put people
down.
Why
else would you be depressed unless you do? You were an idiot.
My father died.
Oh, your father died?
Yeah. So
everybody dies. Jesus. In other words, why would you get depressed?
Wouldn't you be depressed when your daughter's trying to
kill
herself?
Yeah, exactly. Aren't you going to be depressed, Art, if your parent dies?
Yeah, you'll be sad, but I hate to tell you guys this, but people die. I mean, you don't live forever. That's no reason to be depressed.
That isn't the subject here. It's you telling your daughter that she's stupid and she can't have a dream.
No, it's not that she can't have a dream, but...
She wanted to be an actress.
Is it realistic for her to have a dream? When she, you know, broke the thing, she can't even hang herself properly. So that's the point we're trying to make.
All right, look, Rose, I got to take a break. Thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Art Griego about teen suicide. It's primary. The primary reason is that the kids out there are trying to kill themselves recognize that they're too dumb to compete with other kids, and they're embarrassed by that. How do we cure the problem? We get them into jobs where they can be competitive. He has a troubled teen job bank, dog walking. I mean, a lot of these are very menial tasks, but according to him, they're exactly the kind of feel-good job that a kid who tries to commit suicide should have because they're too dumb for anything else. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball. It's entertainment. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I just wanted to understand.
All right, I'm back with Art Griego, our number 1-800-449-8686, a parent of a teenage girl who attempted suicide three times. He's gotten together with other parents to try to do something about teenage suicide, which he says is caused. The kids are killing themselves because they realize how stupid they are. In other words, any kid that attempts suicide is dumb.
That has been my experience. Look, my daughter attempted suicide at the age of 12, Phil. And again, you ask me why I laugh, because if you listen to this, you have to laugh. My daughter attempted suicide at the age of 12 by turning the car on and trying to asphyxiate herself, but the garage door was open. And we laugh about it now, but this, I mean, holy Jesus, how stupid can you be? So, I'm trying, you know...
Well, are you basing all of your daughter's stupidity on the fact that she can't commit suicide properly? I mean, this is...
Of course I'm not, Phil.
Well, give me other examples.
Well, she's... You know, she has a lisp, and that doesn't make her stupid, but she sounds like an idiot when she talks, and things like this. So, I don't want to get too much into it, but what's wrong with a kid having a realistic expectation?
So you give her a job driving a delivery van for a dry cleaner.
That's a start, yes.
1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Anna Lisa on the Phil Henry Show. You're on with Art Griego. Go ahead.
I cannot believe that you talk like this about your daughter. She probably killed herself three times.
I'm not making it up.
You talk to her like this.
I don't talk to her like this. Look, I showed her. Look.
First time she tried to kill herself, did she try to kill herself after you told her she was stupid again?
No, I simply said to her that, you know, the jobs you should have this summer would be house, you know, dog walking and things like that. So look, at she tried to overdose on pills. They were vitamins. They were vitamin B12s. Now, I want to ask you, as a reasonable woman, is that dumb? I think it is.
You there, ma'am? Oh, we lost her. 1-800-449-8686. Barbara, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Barbara?
Hello.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even hear my name because I was almost... I mean, I'm at the same point that lady is, that was, or whatever. Anyway, my thing is, I just can't... you know, you're just saying that your daughter is so stupid and your wife is
Wait
dumb.
A minute.
And...
Are you telling me that trying to kill yourself is a smart act?
No, it's
okay,
not a smart
that's,
act.
Okay, all right, there. You just proved my point.
You can't keep pushing into your daughter that she is stupid. Maybe she's grown beyond that. She's trying now. Does she have a driver's license?
She can't pass the test.
Oh, well, then how can
well,
she drive
I mean, what are you talking about?
Then how can she drive for a driver's
license? We're trying
driving?
To get... We're going to try as hard as we can over the next several months to get her to pass the test. This is how dumb... This is what I'm talking about.
You know, the only good thing... Okay, I...
How do you overdose on pills when you take a handful of vitamin C?
Okay,
can I
say something, please?
Go right ahead, ma'am. But
okay.
I'm hearing a lot of people indicting me.
Well, Art, you know what, Art? You're right, and maybe we shouldn't do that right away, but please listen to what the lady has to say.
Thank you very much. I cannot tell you where I work, but I work with ladies on a weekly basis, on a almost daily basis.
Well, that could be a nightclub. Is that a nightclub? I don't know what that is.
It's a women's group.
A women's group. Trying to be a positive influence, okay? Trying to get ladies that have had drug problems, okay, on a positive note and on a positive road to success. And if you keep telling people how...
I don't know what that is.
Well, it's not a nightclub. She's not...
Well, what she's talking about, she could be managing strippers. I don't know what she's talking about.
Are you a psychologist or something, Mary?
I am not a psychologist by any means. I help out with a women's group through the county, okay?
Do you believe that laughter heals? Do you believe that laughter heals?
Sure, I believe that laughter heals.
In our parents' group, we share stories of our young people who made these idiotic attempts at killing themselves, and laughter...
Sir, you are not letting me voice my... You know, I've heard of, you know, everything that you've had to say about how stupid your daughter is. The only good thing that I've gotten out of this is how you said that if you realize how smart you are... Well, no, let's see.
If you realize how dumb you are, maybe that's a glimmer of hope, and that's what we're trying to work on.
Let me see. I wrote this down because I thought it was a profound statement.
All right, Barbara,
I'm
tell you what. Hold on, Barbara, because we do have to take a break.
Jesus, can't she get her point out?
Well, you know what, sir? You've been interrupting her. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Teenagers are attempting suicide because they realize how dumb they are and they don't want to embarrass themselves anymore. Mr. Griego agrees. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Barbara has been hanging on here, so let me get Barbara back on the line. Go ahead, Barbara, and are you there, Art?
Yes, sir, I am. If I could finish what I was telling you off the air.
All right, Barbara, you there?
I'm here.
All right, hold on for a second. Art, what is the...
Well, you know, the lady will find fault, and as people have found fault with me since I've been on your program, but the laughter is a healing thing, and the parents that I've been... talking with and the parents that I meet with have suffered through this terrible trauma of having a child with your own blood trying to take their own lives, and we've told stories about how dumb some of these kids can be. A very good friend of mine, Jerry Marsdale's son, attempted to kill himself by jumping off the roof of their house, and he landed in their swimming pool. And I thought that was a cute story that I wanted to share with the other people. So this is how dumb they are, and maybe that's what's saving their lives.
All right, Barbara, go ahead.
Okay, first of all, I have very low blood pressure, but right now I am just boiling. I am to the boiling point with this
man.
Well, ma'am, maybe you'd like it if these kids succeeded in killing themselves. Is that it?
No, I would not. Can you just please let me talk to you?
I've been hearing you, and I...
And not interrupt me?
I've got low blood pressure, and it's getting lower.
You know,
all right, that's unnecessary. Go ahead, Barbara, and we will keep Mr. Griego, and I would ask you, sir, to have some phone manners here.
I apologize.
Thank you. I've only heard... In the beginning, I only heard bits and pieces of this, but the more I, you know, really listened to my radio through the static, I could hear what you were saying.
Oh, that's interesting.
And like I said, God, like I said, it seemed like every other word out of your mouth was how stupid your daughter is, how dumb your wife is, how smart you are because you own your own...
Well, she didn't get it from me, is the point I'm trying to make.
No, okay, well, how stupid were you to marry somebody so dumb?
How stupid was I? You know what? I'm going to be very... I'm going to try to be a gentleman about this, and let me just say, D-cup.
Oh,
okay?
that's really being a gentleman.
Sir, talking about suicidal children and that...
The lady asked me a question.
Okay, you say you're such a smart man, you own your own business and everything. Okay, the only thing that I'm trying to get across to you is how you need to give your daughter positive reinforcement and your wife positive reinforcement, not keep saying how stupid and dumb they are.
My wife has a 4-carat piece of positive reinforcement on her left hand.
So what difference does that make?
Well, ma'am, you ask about positive reinforcement.
Oh, that's,
you know,
okay, material positive.
Can I ask you something? Have you ever attempted suicide?
No, sir, I have not. And
well,
I'm not the smartest person in the world. I will be the first to admit that. But I have a lot of common sense, and I do have some knowledge, and enough knowledge to know that a 4-carat whatever on my finger does not make me smart.
My wife has got a Lexus coupe. She's
you know
got
what?
A 4-carat...
Rego, you're saying your wife is stupid. You married her because she's gorgeous, and she married you because you have money.
Bingo. And I would ask you, and it works out fine for us, but yeah, we got a dumb kid. And when you try to cut your own wrist with a ruler, you as a parent, you look at that and you laugh yourself sick.
That was a stupid thing to do, but it's not saying that she is.
It's a sad thing
stupid.
That the child attempted that. Yeah, Barbara, thank you very much for your call.
Thank God you got rid of her.
Why?
And there's something about these women who think they know a lot.
Well, have you got a problem with smart women?
No, I do not have a problem with smart women. It's just that woman couldn't get to the point. And I don't have a lot of patience with women who take a long time. And one of the things about my daughter, Madison, who I love very much, is she's really slow at, Daddy, can we go to the zoo? You know, and I'm like, come on, spit it out.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Yvette. Oh, man. Yvette, go ahead.
I want to tell you to this man that he's extremely stupid himself.
I beg pardon?
Because you are extremely stupid yourself. And if you're...
Oh, no, you got that wrong, ma'am.
You are very stupid because all of your reaction and all of your sample shows how stupid you could be. You're an adult and you experience absolutely stupidity. I never heard of
that. I'm not the guy that jumped off a roof into a pool. How can you call me stupid?
You are extremely stupid because you don't understand how to deal with kids. You're unprofessional. I don't know who put you on this show.
No, ma'am, I can tell you that my daughter...
Absolutely.
My daughter.
People.
I can't even understand the lady, Phil.
All right, Yvette, this is Phil Hendry. Hold on. You're speaking a little quickly. Well, we can't understand. You have a little bit of an accent.
Yes, I do. I have a lot of accent. And you know what?
Well, we're having a hard time understanding you.
I came to this country 30 years ago, and my two children, mom
and how would you feel if you came home and found your... You know, just listening to your voice, I'd want to beat myself to death with something.
You treat your kids and your wife like you do.
Is this dumb? My daughter tried to beat her own head. She beat herself to death with a wiffle ball bat.
Your daughter needs attention of professional people.
That's exactly right.
Steal her education.
Why are you yelling?
She cannot play music, she could dance.
I can hear you.
She could read. If she cannot read, she could do math. You have to take her to professional schools.
That's Boris.
Okay, if your daughter's attempting suicide, why are you making jokes?
I can't understand a word this lady's. Is she speaking Lithuanian?
She's from Russia. She has a thick accent, but she's saying you need to reinforce this child positively. You need to quit calling her stupid. You need to behave in a more intelligent manner yourself.
Mr. Hendry, I have started a parent group where we meet once a week and talk about the ways that our kids try to kill themselves. Yeah, okay, so we get a couple of
laughs. You know what? I would kill myself, too, if I have a daddy like you. Which make a sight. Better have respect for the mother of your child.
Well, hang on, ma'am. Let me get Moose and Squirrel in to interpret for you. And
all right. Yvette, listen, are you a doctor, a psychiatrist?
I was a teacher in my country, and I was a psychologist in my country. And I
that means over here she does a lot of ironing.
I work with different kind of kids, but I never heard anything stupid like this. I never called to the show because I know I have a heavy accent.
You never heard anything this dumb in Russia.
But.
Oh, I doubt that.
I worked here for 30 years, too, and I never heard anybody to put on the show and fetch
up. Are you from Saudi Arabia?
This guy. It
all right. Yvette, I thank you for your call.
Thank you for listening to me.
Yes, ma'am.
Because
thank you.
Over in your country, kids try to kill themselves by standing in the middle of the road waiting for a yak to run them over. And I'm just trying to...
All right, you know, your smart-ass remarks are not helping either, sir. Thank you, Yvette. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Art Griego. What is it that you're making jokes?
Mr. Henry, I'm not making jokes. I've been called an idiot. I've been called every kind of name. Then I get this Russian. And the last time I checked, that's not anywhere in America calling me an idiot. And
the lady's been here for 30 years, sir. I don't think that there is any need to get a xenophobic mindset about this.
What?
I don't think there's any need to get a xenophobic mindset about this.
Is that so you're trying to make me feel stupid?
You don't know what xenophobic means.
Xenophonic?
Xenophobia is a fear of foreigners.
Well, look, laughter's the best medicine. It's time we laughed at these kids. And there's a new word. I want to write that down. Xenophobia. When I mention that at our parent group, they're going to pee themselves. Just that word. Somebody can come in and say, my daughter tried to cut her own throat with a railroad spike, and then I'll go xenophobic and we'll all forget the horror of it. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here, and I'm disappointed in the tenor of our conversation.
Sir, I am trying to show you the way.
All you've done is call your daughter dumb. Dumb, dumb, stupid, stupid, and she ought to drive a delivery van, and she tried to kill herself by ODing on vitamin C, and the kid jumped into the pool, and she tried to asphyxiate herself and left the garage door open.
You don't call that stupid.
Well, maybe it is, but maybe it's also the panicked reaction of a child in such distress that they don't remember certain things. Samantha, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Yes,
I guess
ma'am.
I would like to start out by, I guess I feel the need to qualify myself so I don't get categorized as a stupid female. I'm a physician. I'm an internal medicine doctor. I'm not a psychiatrist, but I felt like I should just go ahead and put those credentials in front of you so you wouldn't think that I was stupid as well.
No, I don't think you're, but you're trying to make me feel stupid.
I'm not,
and that's
no.
What I'm, that's the, what I resent.
No, no,
that
I
you would come out and say, oh, I got all this education. And
no, she's just saying her educational background perhaps may not prompt you to think she's a...
Mr. Henry, do you have to interpret for all your callers?
I'm sorry?
Why do you have to get on and interpret for your callers?
Because you're not letting anybody finish, sir. Go ahead, Samantha.
Okay, thanks. So, my point to you is
Hello?
That I think that it is a mistake to pull your daughter out of school at the age of 14 because there are special education programs made for people who aren't going to grow up to be rocket scientists.
Right.
That can teach them the skills that they will need to cope with life long after you've passed away
and they're
still living.
I totally agree.
I think you're doing her a disservice by pulling her out of school. And if I could just make one more point, sir, I appreciate that you're trying to create a support group for parents, but I don't think that, but having said that, I don't think that you are fully appreciating the scope of these suicide attempts. Just because they're unsuccessful does not mean that they're not dangerous and that they're not something that should be paid attention to.
I think they're dangerous. Of course I do.
Because, I'm just, as a matter of fact, you can overdose on vitamins. Probably not vitamin C, but vitamins
right,
that contain iron.
Jerry Marsdale told me that his son had tried to commit suicide. He walked into his room and the kid had a cap gun to his head. Now, tell me that's
right.
Not funny. Tell me that isn't funny.
Sir, the
Sir,
emotional
I'm going to have
trauma...
to tell you that's desperate. Not funny, but desperate.
A cap gun? Oh, come on.
Sir, that you know what?
Sir, I've seen people that have shot themselves in the head with real guns that have actually ended up just paralyzed for the attempt. So, you know, please forgive me for not finding all of these as funny as you do.
Well, that's not funny what you just said. That's horrible.
Right.
But a kid trying to kill himself by jumping off the roof into the pool?
Right, but I'm saying that these are probably what they call suicide gestures. In other words, attempts. By a desperate child or a desperate person to get attention.
Well, then I should have rename my group Parents of Kids who Attempted Suicide Gestures. Because Madison and one of her boyfriends had a suicide pact. They tried to suffocate each other but kept dropping the pillows.
What are you doing, a stand-up act here?
How many times has your daughter tried to kill herself?
I beg your pardon?
How many times has your daughter tried to kill herself?
Three times.
Well, you've mentioned the garage beam being broken.
Yes.
And the pillows.
Yes, ma'am.
And what
asphyxiation?
Else? Beating herself with a wiffle bat and cutting her wrist with a ruler. I think we're up to four.
You know what? The ruler I didn't take seriously.
What are you doing? A stand-up act here?
Mr. Henry, laughter cures.
So let's talk about all
sir,
the funny times our kids try to kill themselves.
Well, sir, I'm just arguing that I think laughter is helping you and the other parents cope, but I'm not sure if it's really helpful at all to the children. I think that these children actually do need psychiatric
help. Her mother drank when she was pregnant with her. That's for sure. And the doctor said that has something to do with her large head.
Wait a second. Are you talking about fetal alcohol syndrome?
Yes.
Well, what in the hell are you talking about, man? That's a serious malady. That's a...
Then she threw herself in front of a kid on a razor scooter.
You know what?
I'm not sure if much can be done here other than to say that I wish your daughter as much luck in the world as she can possibly get, because I think on several levels she's going to need it.
Oh, that's true. When you get a look at this kid.
Yeah, I think...
All right,
Anyway, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you
all
for
right.
taking
thank
my
you
call.
Thank you very much, Samantha.
Thank you. I mean, we talk about a big head. Let me just put it this way. There's a flying saucer she could have used as a
head. Oh, get out of here. My daughter tried to beat herself to death with a wiffle ball bat. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Truth, justice, comedy. The Phil Henry Show is back. Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hey, Coach. Name's Tom.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm a vet, too, and I'm going to tell you.
Oh, you're not a vet.
Point of view, I'm listening
Everybody's
to you.
A vet all of a sudden.
Well,
what
hey,
are you a veteran
I can back
of?
It up. Well, hey,
what
I don't
you?
See where you're a vet and where you're proving it. Well, I
well,
don't
you ain't
think you're
vet.
Enough to be a coach.
You ain't proved you're a vet.
I can certainly pull my papers out and show them, but I'm telling you.
Where were you, in Vietnam or someplace like that?
You think you're a bad boy. You think you're a bad boy.
Hey, I got my
butt. You're a coach, you're doing all, so you don't cry. Kids are kids, and they're allowed to grow up. They should be allowed to grow up and express their pain and whatever they feel and all this other stuff.
Oh, come on.
And you don't deserve to be a coach.
Do you coach kids?
You coach kids. You don't have the right to be a coach.
Why not?
If you want to be a big bad boy and teach somebody not to cry, and you're talking about our military, why don't you go join the military, find out what it's like, and maybe they'll let you try to train these troops to be a man and where
when
they won't cry when they're getting shot at,
right,
whatever.
Now. When you say you're a vet, were you a vet in Nam or Pinky's Animal Hospital? Because
why do you got to disrespect these guys?
Because
look, Pinky's Animal Hospital. Let me tell you something. I don't need your kind of criticism or whatever you want to call it out here.
Hey, Tom, let me
just deserve to be a damn
sir.
Coach.
Every
you
Wednesday
don't
morning,
any of these things, fellas.
I want to ask you if in the military that you were in, if anybody could take this kind of pain, then I'll respect it. Every Wednesday morning, my wife backs a Cadillac Escalade out of our garage right over my hand. I put my hand on the garage floor and have her
you,
back.
You, sir, are a complete and total idiot.
Oh, I'm an idiot because I can take pain and I don't cry.
You do not deserve a position as a teacher to teach children anything because the simple fact is, why do you want to teach a child what it's like to start?
You're telling me that you allow a mule to kick you in a private area, you have your wife back a car over your hand, and you purposefully went into a bar and got beat up by six guys. Why would we consider you to be anything other than insane?
I'm able to take pain and not cry, and these guys are talking about crying, and they're in the military, and you're criticizing me?
Coach, I want to tell you something.
Why are you doing that?
If I was a kid's father, you would not be a teacher of any sort when I was done with you. I can assure you that. I'd go to every experiment I could to get you out of a teaching system and put you somewhere where you really deserve to be.
Look, Tom, you say you're a vet. I think I got a hairball. Can I come in and...
He said he's a veteran of the military, not a veterinarian.
Oh, all right.
I'm a veteran, as in U.S. Navy. And you want to talk about Navy boys and this and the other? Why don't you join the military and go out there and really find out what it's like to be in the military?
Why do I need to be in the military? My wife backs a car over my hand.
Listen to this
guy.
Well,
you're such a big bad boy that maybe that's what we need in Iraq.
I don't need to be in the military. I got a mule to kick me in the Royal American. Hey, Tom, here's what you like.
You something,
in the Navy, you can meet a lot of guys in the Navy.
You know what I think this guy's
I want to tell you something.
Yeah.
You go over there, Iraq,
even
as a civilian, you would not survive.
Well, wear those interesting pants.
But you don't have what it takes.
Tom, thank you very much for your call.
In the Navy, in the Navy.
Shut this guy off.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Get in there and make me some bean dip.
Phil Hendry Show with Phil Hendry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Hendry.
Joining us on the show this evening is Jay Santos, who is the Brigadier Admiral of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. With the abduction of Lori Hacking in Salt Lake City, again, the idea, the reality of abductions of women, children, innocent people is at the fore of our thinking. Jay, thank you for joining us.
Always my pleasure, Phil.
Are you looking at the Citizens Auxiliary Police is not an official police force?
Well, I think to call us not an official police force might be a little bit of an overstatement. I think, you know, the police with their workload, a lot of things do slip through the cracks of the police. We come along as a citizens unit, and we sort of take a peek over the shoulder of the police, make sure the things that they're doing are they're doing as effectively as they can. I mean, I'm not denigrating the work of our police officers, but as citizens, a volunteer group that we put together in our neighborhood here, we utilize the resources we have at our disposal, whether it be borrow one of the guy's wife's vans or something, so we just cruise the streets. And
tell me about this. Abduction of Lori Hacking and how this is playing into what you, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, have planned for the weekend?
Well, I think we're all on edge with the Lori Hacking, Lacey Peterson, this kind of situation. And they are now, as far as I know, the police are looking at the husband. Of course, police are all handling it, but we certainly do want to come into the fore. And I had a very interesting conversation with Major Elvis Newton last night. His directive for us this weekend was to check out garage sales, which we're going to be doing.
Now, why are you checking out the garage sale where people sell personal effects?
That's correct. And the reason is, in around the South Bay area and other citizens' areas are being patrolled by other citizens' groups across the country. reason for this because this is why Major Elvis Newton, I think, is a real visionary. He is the founding member of our group. Garage sales happen all the time, but no one ever asks kind of people go to these things. And I don't know about you, Phil. I've always been very curious. Who is it that goes to a garage sale? What kind of human being? And I don't mean to be judgmental, but what kind of human being would wander through someone's, you know, picking through their old underwear, their hand-me-down, cast-off personal effects in this kind of situation that could be unsanitary and so forth? These items could be broken. They could be unsanitary. It could be stolen. You know, so we're going to be out feeling around a neighborhood, and that's what we want to do this weekend, keep an eye on as many garage sales we can.
Are you thinking that Lacey Peterson, Lori Hacking, I don't know, Elizabeth Smart, any innocent person that's abducted, are you saying that there is a possibility that garage sales, as we know them, these neighborhood garage sales, might have played a part in their abduction?
Well, I'm saying, Phil, and I think all that Major Elvis Newton is trying to say is that garage sales, as we know them, as is presently constituted, introduced into the neighborhood, neighborhood that might otherwise be safe, I think it's time that we take a look at these. I think that these garage sales introduce an element of people that are suspect. I think you've got some real dregs, you've got some real bottom feeders. They're driving into a neighborhood that might otherwise have been passed by had the innocent citizen not put up his little sign on a telephone pole, and now comes some scumbag wandering into your neighborhood, picking through your cast-off and underwear in this kind of a situation. Because a lot of these people, this is how these people live. And the worst of the people that have the garage sale, I'm not trying to denigrate nobody, but they are outing, you know, they're out there putting little signs to say, hey, we're having a garage sale. It basically says if you're a sexual deviant, if you're a drug dealer, yeah, you're one of these homicidal acts, sort of an axe killer deal, and you're one of these molestation individuals, come on in. We're going to try, you know, come on into our neighborhood. We're going to try to slow that down.
And so are you closing down garage sales? Are you?
We are going to put as many of them on notice as we possibly can this weekend.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Talking with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Very strong feeling on their part. And understand this organization, you're not an official police force.
Well, I got to interrupt you again when you say we're not official. You know, a lot of stuff gets slips through the cracks of the police. We're trying to, you know, kind of clean up few messes that they leave.
All right, hold on. I'll give our phone number and we can talk a little bit more, Jay. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. There is a serious feeling, at least on the part of this organization, that garage sales where people are selling cast-off items on their property from their garages, we've all seen them, they're in every neighborhood in America and on any given weekend, may be introducing into neighborhoods, as you say, Mr. Sanis, low scum.
Well, you got a lot of these molestation situations. You got a lot of these scumbags. That's the deal we're talking about.
All right, the idea that garage sales might have had something to do with Lori Hacking's disappearance and Lacey Peterson is mind-boggling. That would be a magnet for sick people, because when I drive by a garage sale, most of the time I'm seeing a lot of elderly people or kids.
Well, that's not my... I mean, you see all kinds of people at garage sales, and when you say, well, you know, Jay, all I see are elderly people... See, to you, that means that's not a threat. To me, anybody's a possible threat. The elderly people can abduct and pull a full molestation within 30 minutes, the same as anybody else. I can tell you from personal experience, we had Sub-Commander Holloway and myself, we had borrowed his wife's Windstar, and we used it one night as a patrol vehicle, and we had seen this individual at a garage sale picking up a child's tricycle, and we had observed this from just about 75 yards. We saw this individual pick up a child's tricycle, and I don't want to be offensive on the situation.
A kid's tricycle?
That is correct.
Well, what was he doing?
Well, as I said, I don't want to be offensive, but we observed him at that time.
Well, what you can say if it's not profane?
Well, I can tell you, at that time, we did observe him pick up his tricycle and attempting to, at that time, he did sniff or, at that time, smell the seat of the tricycle. Now, this is what these people do, and the next thing you know, they come back for the real deal. They want to come back to you, sniff on the seat. And they might want to come back to the real thing. That's the only thing that I'm worried about.
But you're also indicting the person for having the... I don't know, if a man picks up a tricycle and he might have been looking at a spring under the seat, there are springs under those tricycle seats.
Well, I'm not sure. Again, we observed him just about 75, 50 yards. We were looking at him with field glasses, and I, at that time, made the determination that he's some kind of a perv, these twisted sick deals.
But you also indict the people that have the garage sale.
Well, let me put it this way. So do you fish? Mr. Henry, you fish?
On occasion, yes, I do.
All right, if you fish, you know there's something called chumming the water. Now, chumming the water is you throw in a bucket of blood in the water and try to get the fish gathered about. These individuals who have the temerity to have these garage sale are like a bucket of blood thrown into the middle of a herd of shark out there under the pier. The garage sale will bring into a neighborhood some real garbage. You're talking about some real street garbage. And you want your kid picked off the street and thrown in the trunk of a car, you go ahead and have yourself a garage sale. Because I tell you right now, it's indicted.
So the basic theory is the garage sale invites into the neighborhood individuals that might want to case the house.
Individuals that want to case the house, individuals that want to take a peek at some kid. Old kid running around a bathing suit. I don't know how these twisted people think. And I'm saying that with the disappearance of Lori Hacking, the current situation around Lacey Peterson, as well as all the other situations that currently are being apprised by the police departments of the United States of America, I think you got to take a good, long, hard look at these garage sales. So what we're going to do, put these people on notice this weekend.
Are you shutting these garage sales down when you find them?
That is correct, yes, sir.
How are you doing that?
I can tell you, we do have an alert signal if you want me to. I'm telling one of the subcommanders to get our air horn out. What we're doing is when we see a garage sale, Mr. Henry, we do notify the owner of the home that they have a half hour, and we do at that time go back to the patrol vehicle, and we will give them what is called a warning blast. Subcommander Holloway is at his wife's car right now. Go ahead and... So you can hear that. That is the signal. Go ahead and wrap it up. So everything is wrapped up off the street, and let's go.
Well, what if they don't... You know, if I'm having, I don't mean to say, anything. What if they do not come, or what do you guys say?
If they don't comply?
If they do not comply.
Well, at that time, then, we do have a situation. We will go to the owner and say, all right, we did give you the air horn warning. You have not shut the garage sale down as it is presently constituted. And at that time, we have to inform you that we're going to start to confiscate the items. And we will begin to remove those items from the garage sale street and put them into, Subcommander Holloway's wife's Windstar, whatever car is available at that time.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. The garage sale. All over America, we see them every week of every year. Could they be inviting into neighborhoods sick and twisted and perverted people who may have, for instance, committed the abduction of Lori Hacking or Lacey Peterson or Elizabeth Smart or any people who have gone missing and whose disappearance we have yet to solve? The garage sale. And are the people that have these garage sales equally as culpable as the so-called scum that they invite in? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police says this weekend they will be going and asking people to close their garage sales down. 1-800-449-8686. The number here on the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
You would stick an ice pick into a baby to save a cougar in a bush.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
On the line with me is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police as we deal with yet another abduction in our country. They're happening every day, Mr. Santos, obviously. And so to focus on Lori Hacking probably isn't fair.
Well, let's just interrupt you for a second, Phil, and say that I don't want to focus on Lori Hacking. Also, I'm a Brigadier Admiral with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I'm not making a big deal.
I'm sorry.
No, but it's not a big deal. I just wanted to mention that, yes, you're right. Abductions do happen every day. We can stop one. And if we can stop them at the obvious place where they start. See, nobody wants to talk about the garage sale as it is constituted because it's a very real lure for a lot of your mountain trash, a lot of the resort trash comes out. Especially here in Los Angeles, we've got an awful lot of visitors that come in. And you get a lot of this prairie trash coming in here, and the first thing they want to do is get their giggles with some little kid, which I think is about as perverted as it goes. So that's what we're trying to do. And, there's an old saying, Phil, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and the road to a shallow grave for a four-year-old child might be paved with someone's old beer glasses. I can't let that happen.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Lisa. You're on the air with Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police. Lisa?
Oh, hi, I'm here.
Yes,
oh,
go ahead, ma'am.
You know, my heart is beating so fast, I'm just sickened by what I hear.
you know, I have had garage sales. I've grown up on garage sales, and I attend them all the time because, I mean, it's a great way to save money on kids' toys. And I just think that's really going on the deep end of crime, really. I mean, garage sales are early on a Saturday morning, and you get to know your neighbors, and I think it's kind of a community thing.
I think there's a lot of positive aspects what you're saying, ma'am, but unfortunately, what the garage sale does represent as well, since a lot of these signs are posted not only on postings outside the neighborhood, you also have these ads that are placed in newspapers, recycler, and what have you. They are automatic attractions to individuals who might want a case house for burglary. These perverts that want to come and take a little kid who's running around in his underwear, what have you. And so while the garage sale person who's having it may have the best of intentions, as I said, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
But what is this world coming to? I mean, you can't let your kid go to the park. You can't have a garage sale. I mean,
well,
not
that's,
everyone
that's
in the world
that's,
is bad.
That's
I mean,
how I feel about it.
These are families and children, and, you know, that's
Haley,
what
do
I
do you have thinking. Any idea the danger that exists? You're putting your children in danger when strangers are allowed onto your property to pick through your underwear or whatever it is you got out there. You might as well unlock your kid's window.
I have never had a suspicious-looking person. I've mostly seen mothers and kids and just family people and neighbors.
Well,
and
as we found out in 9/11, and too late, in fact, suspicious-looking people may not necessarily be the ones that we should target. 9/11, I think, taught us something very clearly. That the people that perpetrated the 9/11 crashings of the buildings and all this nonsense were in fact young, well-scrubbed, good-looking young men who you would have invited into your home to have a beer and all the night.
Their sites are a little higher than a small three-bedroom home having a garage sale. I mean,
if that small three-bedroom home has a little tiny child in it. Some pervert wants to get his hands on. I tell you right there, he's just found himself a big fat fish in a pond.
Well, the world, you have to be aware wherever you go, whatever you do.
If
and
you
don't invite these people to come home, come in and use your restroom.
Well, of course you do not. But as I said, we observed a man picking up a tricycle. Can you imagine a guy picking up a tricycle trying to sniff the seat? This is kind of a deal. And this is happening in your neighborhood.
Well, again, I don't know whether you saw him trying to sniff a tricycle seat or whether he was...
That's gross and disgusting.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm not going to sit for it in my neighborhood. And there's an old saying...
You know what? I don't think they do that at an early Saturday morning at a garage sale in front of a whole street of mothers and their children because, you know what? We are like lions. And if we saw any pervert weirdo coming up and doing
that,
they
would do it. You ought to be in the business that I'm in, ma'am, because as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, I've seen a lot of sickness.
Well, that lady was going off the deep end there for a second. 1-800-449...
Let me just jump in. I can understand her concern. But I can tell you right now, she's sitting there and she's telling people, oh yeah, those shot glasses are only 50 cents and that's a really nice can opener. Me, I got some guy who's got his face pressed right into some tricycle seat. No thank you.
1-800-449-8686. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that, but if you're staking these things out and looking at them, perhaps you've got some information I don't have. Here is Lily. Lily, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I think this is bogus. I really think this whole garage sale thing that he's got going on, it's part of being an American. In America, we have the freedom to go out garage sailing. Some of us make money on sailing.
That's fine, but you're not hearing what I'm saying. It may be part of your daily, whatever it is you do, but you're inviting into your neighborhood every twisted, sick creep, all this scum.
I think there's other ways to go about getting them. That's fine. I admire the fact that you want to go out there and surveillance them and look
exactly.
And see what people are doing. But ending garage sales, I think it's bogus.
Well,
other countries,
listen
to me. This is America. Look, Mr. Soto, in other Hispanic countries, they come into your neighborhood and they tell you what you can and what you cannot do, sweetheart.
What's that?
You want to live in a country where they tell you what you can and cannot do? Go live in Cuba.
Well, that's it right now, man.
Go live in another
Cuba,
country.
Yeah.
Not in America, where Americans go garage sailing on weekends.
Let me tell you a little bit about America, because obviously you're new here. But what we try to do
Sonny,
in our country is I was born in this country. We try to make sure that perverts don't pick our kids up off the street and start sniffing them and stuff like that.
So why don't you
you want to do that?
How not to be a pervert. Why don't you start there?
Hey, why don't we teach people how not to murder, but they still do? See, get my drift?
Exactly, but ending garage sales.
You get my drift on that?
I can't insist that you need to be doing something else except going around people's houses and ending garage sales on Saturday morning.
Well, ma'am, I can tell you right now that if you're having a garage sale on our, you know, you see our vehicle down the street, you're going to hear this sound. That means wrap it up.
And you know what I'm going to think? I'm going to think Castro is coming down the street with the Comité del Barrio.
No, I don't think you will, because if it's that bad in America, you'd head on back
to Cuba. Seriously, if America is taking the stand and going with what you're thinking, and I'm sure the majority of the listeners are against
what you're
thinking.
You got a pervert standing there in a pair of khakis and a golf shirt sniffing a Fisher Price toy.
All right, pick him up. Pick him up.
All right.
Spend all the energy that you're taking going to people's homes and scaring them.
All right. Lily, thank you.
Take that energy and pick them up off the street.
You know, Phil, what I'm hearing here, Phil, are people who want to defend a garage sale. I think it's an admirable thing. I think the garage sale is a time-honored tradition. But, hey, you want to know something else? It used to be a time-honored tradition, Phil, to leave your doors unlocked. You do that anymore, Lily? No. And I don't think you live in Cuba just because you have to lock your doors at night. What I'm saying the man is speaking. And
what do you mean the man is speaking?
She's Hispanic. She understands what that means. I'm simply saying that if you want to dangle your child out there for any pervert to come along and go, fresh meat, not me.
All right, Lily, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. What are you doing now?
We're testing out the horn right now. As a matter of fact, we also have a bullhorn. You can hear it. I'll show you what we basically do, Phil, is we enter these neighborhoods on the horn and basically tell people.
Here we are, Rock 5, 3 to 5 seconds. Shut down. And at that time, of course, what we are able to do, ascertain how we're going to basically do the best that we can for the.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I didn't hear the last part there. 1-800-449-8686. Do garage sales invite perverts into our neighborhoods? Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Talking with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police about the possibility that garage sales, neighborhood garage sales, could be at the heart of abductions. Children being abducted from neighborhoods because your neighbor is having a garage sale and inviting just anybody into the neighborhood to look at odds and ends.
Phil, if I could interrupt.
Go ahead, Jay.
Boy, I'll tell you right now, you hit it on the head right there. You hit it on the head. I want the people who listen to the program tonight to consider it's their neighbors that are doing this. Your neighbor has a garage sale, he puts you at risk. Neighbor down the street has a garage sale, puts you at risk. It is a level of selfishness, I think, that we need to take into consideration. In fact, the undeniable fact that garage sale is like a gold embossed invitation to any scum dragging down the street to come on into your neighborhood.
Well, I want to ask you, I got some phone calls to get to, but Mr. Nguyen Tho of Hawthorne filed a complaint with the Hawthorne police when you closed down his garage sale he was having on your particular street where you live.
That is correct. First of all, Mr. Renner, I have a 15-year-old daughter. Okay? And Mr. Tho decided that he would open his home to every piece of street trash to come look at some of his oriental furniture and all kinds of, you know, the Buddhas and all of this kind of a thing. And I went down there and I told him, you know, let me tell you what. And I went ahead and, I'm sitting inside the Windstar right now, and I said, let me tell you what, and I hit the horn, I'm going to shut it down, because I have a 15-year-old daughter. If you think you're going to bring some street garbage in to look at your Buddhist collections and your gongs and all this deal, and next thing you know, my daughter's in the back of some sick, twisted individual's van, let me tell you what happens then, Mr. Henry. What happens then is they take them over here to Hollywood, right at the 405 freeway here, and then they make what they call a snuff movie. Now, maybe they do that in Vietnam, where I'm sure garage sales are flourishing, but not here in the United States.
Well, I can understand a father's concern for his daughter.
You better believe it.
But to shut a man's garage sale, you had to deal with the police.
I told the Hawthorne PD, I said, let me tell you something right now. This guy's sitting next door, selling beer glasses, putting my daughter at risk to be in a snuff film. It's not going to happen.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Let me talk here to Jim. Jim, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, Phil, how you doing? I love your show and everything. I really got to understand this guy because of the fact that I hear what he's saying, but you know what? They're taking away our Constitution. They're taking away. I was in the Marine Corps. I did 10 years, 8 years in the Marine Corps. I fought for my country. If I want to have a effing garage sale,
hey,
I'll have one.
You're going to bring some street garbage? You're going to bring some street garbage into my neighborhood?
Let me tell you something.
You're
going to
have your garage sale bring some kind of resort trash in?
Let me tell you something.
All right, gentlemen.
I fought for my country. I fought so we could be free, so we could do what we want to do in this country. You know, you might have perverts living in your part of town, but I'm having a garage sale this weekend, 375 East Vermont Expressway in Paris, California. Everybody who wants to come can come.
Okay, now what you've just done is you've given a gold embossed invitation to a pervert to come on down your street and start picking up little, you know, kids. Nice going, Jim.
Okay, he's gone. Obviously, that guy just wanted to plug his garage sale. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jane on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Well, you hit the nail on the head there, too, Phil. The guy's using your program to plug, he's got, you know, doilies he's selling.
Jane, go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I guess my point is, first of all, I think that guy is very rude.
I'm rude. I'm talking about saving the lives of children.
No, you interrupt people when
they're
talking.
Well, ma'am, I'm not going to sit here and listen to somebody tell me garage sales are an institution. So was leaving your door unlocked.
Did you expect everybody to sit there and listen to you?
You know, it used to be an institution to wipe your rear end with newspaper. Do we do it anymore? No, we do not. No, we do not.
You've got a terrible mouth.
Anything else, ma'am? Because I'm talking about saving lives. You got some problem with my speech? Maybe you ought to pick up an Emily Post and sit down in the bathroom and have yourself a good time.
Well, you know what? The problem with us, with this world, is people like you. You're just as bad as a pervert out there.
No, I think you're the pervert with your little garage sales and your little, hey, do you want to buy my, collection of porcelain figurines? I have a pretty sad day when you let some perv take your daughter into prostitution just to sell a salad spinner. But
you know what? I'm from North Dakota, and we have garage sales all the time.
I bet you do. That's also where a lot of serial killers are from.
You're right, mister.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Wisconsin, thank you.
Well, I said North Dakota, but they're from everywhere.
What's the difference?
What?
What's the difference?
Of what?
Between North Dakota and Wisconsin.
Really? Do I really need to explain that?
Yeah, you do, because not a lot of us are all up on our North Dakota trivia these days.
You know what? North Dakota doesn't have this crap go on.
What's that?
We don't have people like you around here.
No, you just have like the posse comitatus not paying their taxes. Look, lady, you and your gang of perverts, stay away from my area.
Wow.
That's okay.
You know what? You're a waste of time.
You know what? Plastic chip bowls are known to attract child molesters. You want to have your garage sale? Good for you. What you're doing, ma'am, is you're putting your sign up saying, hi, do you like little kids? Come on down this street. I got salad spinners up the wazoo, and by sunup tomorrow, there's going to be a snuff film with your kid in it. No thank you. Well, look at this right over here. I shut it down over there.
What are you talking about, man? It's like Thursday night. They're already getting them going.
Absolutely. We got to see right there. There's another one there. There's another one there. There's another one there. There's three garage sales that have sprung up since I've been on the air with you. I'm going to just shut that down. So what we're going to do is try and get as many people as we can to cooperate in shutting down these garage sales this weekend. And
why is the horn going off?
There's six garage sales now. Look, there's another one. And there's another one. There's another one. We got nine garage sales that have opened up, Phil. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a sick deal.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers.
Or the citizens' auxiliary police, it might be called.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
Again, all garage sales are going to shut down, baby. Because I don't need someone snipping the seat of a tricycle to get his kicks.
Hello? Boy, that guy finishes big, man. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, the triumph of intelligence over ignorance. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Would you get him under control with his bullhorn? Some guy at a garage sale picking up the tricycle to sniff the seat. I've never seen that, and only Jay Santos would be looking for it. 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On our program yesterday was Raj Fanin, who is an Egyptian businessman, and he has come to America, and he, as a Middle Eastern immigrant, it's easier for him because he says Americans know that there are consequences to making fun of Middle Easterners. Just exactly what does he mean by that?
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Number one, if this guy were my neighbor or came in to see me or saw me on the street or whatever, and if he were rude to me, I would be rude right back. I don't care what
background
he is.
Be careful.
And he just, hey, I'm not scared of you. And you come from a, excuse me, let me
you
finish.
You have to be careful.
You come from a country where rudeness is a way of life. Well, you know what? You're now in America where rudeness is not a way of life. And you should be very thankful that you can come into this country and own real estate and a business and everything else and be able to speak the way you speak without being afraid of losing your head.
I grew up
in a military family.
Shut your mouth for a minute.
I traveled through Egypt. They were extremely rude, and not just to Americans, but to anyone. So I'm not afraid of you.
Well, you want to treat me as a Mexican. You can't do this.
I'm not rude to Mexicans either, but I'm rude to anybody. I don't care what nationality they are. If they're rude to me, I will be rude back.
Mr. Fanin, are you
And you're telling me to shut up? You shut up.
I'm asking you to shut your mouth so I can finish.
You shut your own mouth.
No, but please shut your mouth so that I can
finish. No, I'm not going to shut my mouth. That is a rude way of asking me to please be quiet and make so you can make your point.
Mr. Fanin,
so you need to be a little bit more polite to me if you expect me to be polite to you.
What, do you see how you are afraid? I can tell in your voice. It quivers like you're a child. So
I'm hardly a child. I'm just so
like
angry at you right now that I am just trying to hold back my anger.
Let me jump in here. Mr. Fanin, first of all, Elizabeth makes a very good point. Saying shut your mouth is an idiom in our country and in our language that is rude. You may say, may I say something? Could you be quiet for a moment? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. No. You don't understand.
No, I'm trying to tell you that the phrase, please shut your mouth, is rude.
But you won't shut your mouth.
But he didn't say please.
But
all he said was shut your mouth.
No, but you won't shut your mouth. You continue to...
Well, no, I'm not going to shut my mouth because I don't want to listen to anything you have to say.
Don't
you're
you
rude,
shut...
and you know what? Go back to your own damn country.
Why don't you shut your mouth and listen to a
no,
man?
No, I'm not going to shut my mouth. You speak in a polite way, and then I will stop speaking.
This is typical of Big White Cracker Lady. That she is...
What do you mean, Big White Cracker Lady?
what makes you think I'm white?
You're kidding, right?
No, yes, I'm asking you, what makes you think I am white?
Because you won't shut your mouth.
Oh, that has nothing to do with it. For your information, I have Cuban heritage in me, and I'm not going to shut my mouth because you think I'm white. That is a racist comment, and I don't think how you can expect anybody to be polite to you when you are racist.
But you might be Cuban, but you talk like Big White Cracker Lady.
Yeah, white cracker.
Man.
You know what? Go back to your own damn country and learn how to speak English.
Why can't you shut your mouth to listen to
I'm not going
to
shut my mouth.
Please don't say shut her mouth. It's a rude phrase, Mr. Fanin.
He knows it's rude.
Anybody
who has a business in our country needs to be a little bit more polite. I pity
but you're
the people
Cuban,
that
you're,
he deals with.
You're Cuban. You're not America.
Oh, I am American. I was born in the United States.
If you're a Cuban, then no one is afraid of you. I would like to hire you to clean my home.
I didn't say anybody. You know what? That is just such a misconception. Nobody's afraid of anybody because of their race.
But
you're
a Cuban lady.
Of somebody because of the way they project themselves.
Exactly.
Maybe you project yourself as a threatening person, and that's what frightens them.
But
you know what? You can come up to me and stare me in the face, and I'm not going to back down.
But you won't shut your mouth.
I'm not going to shut my mouth. Why should I shut my mouth? This is my country. I was born here, and I have every right to say what I want to say.
If you're a Cuban lady, you can clean my home.
I was born in the United States. I am an American.
Can you clean my home?
Okay, is that a statement that you are making, sir, to provoke this lady?
I am saying to you, I'm a Middle East man. You can't push me around.
You're a Middle East idiot.
Because if you push around Middle East man, you know, things go kaboom, you know.
Yeah, is that a threat?
No, it's not a threat, but you know that this
That's what you're saying. If I'm pushing you around, then you're going to threaten me by going kaboom? Well, guess what? You can play that game. So where do you live so we can hash this out?
My son wants to know, if you're Cuban, what does Babaloo mean?
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
You got to listen to me. How dare you get on our you are part of a PTO. You have our children watching you.
Well, that's right.
Listening. Let me finish, Bobby.
Exactly.
Okay? You've got them watching you, and you're telling people on national radio that you are going to accept your husband. Yeah, what if he beat you? Are you telling me if you had a daughter or a son and they're being beat by her man that you're going to look at your daughter in the face and say, no, you should stay with him?
I would run through a checklist before I said anything. I would say, do you courtesy flush? Do you, are you doing things that keep him from getting sleep? You know, what is going on?
You're telling me there is a reason for a man to lift his hand and hit a woman?
Well,
that's a very good point that Charlotte's making.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry. No, there's never a good reason.
Okay, let me tell you something, Bobby. I'm a cancer patient. I was going through chemotherapy. I lived with a man.
Well, what does that got to do with anything?
I lived with a man that beat me and put my head in a toilet when I was throwing up my guts from chemo. Do you think I should stay with him, Bobby?
Well, he has a concern. You went out and got cancer just as the two of you were beginning to...
Wait a minute. Are you listening to her?
Bobby, are you listening to what I'm saying to you? This man shoved my head in a toilet while I was puking up my guts from chemo. You're telling me, Bobby, how dare... I can't believe somebody would allow you on our PTO. How dare our country... You talk about our country being sick. They're sick having people the PTO.
No, this is what I'm talking about. Did you flush?
What do you mean, did I flush?
When you were throwing up.
I was throwing up in the toilet, ma'am.
But I'm asking, Steve slapped me when I didn't use a courtesy flush.
I was throwing up from cancer, chemotherapy treatments. Do you understand?
Well, let me ask you a question, and maybe I don't get it. Why are you not able to handle the chemo?
I think you're sick.
Don't you know what chemotherapy does? It's injecting poison into the system to kill cancer cells. But the killing of the cancer cells also makes you very, very ill. It is
absolutely.
A very uncomfortable
thing. I'm lucky I'm alive, Bobby.
Well,
they only gave me 8 weeks to live.
You know,
I'm here.
You know, I'm really resentful of the accusatory tone that both of you are taking with me.
I'm trying to
understand.
You said because you don't courtesy flush. By the way, what is that?
Oh my God, lady.
A courtesy flush is something that actually civilized people should engage in. It's a flush to cover up embarrassing sounds.
Okay, so what I'm supposed to do while I'm puking up my guts from chemotherapy that is bringing up blood with it. Now, I'm only weighing at this point about 89 pounds, okay?
Oh, God, do I envy you?
Excuse me, sir, don't hit me right now. Let me courtesy flush first.
86 pounds sounds pretty good to me because I'm battling right now. I'm on the Atkins.
Wait a second. Forget the Atkins and forget all these other things. The lady had cancer, Bobby.
I understand that, and I'm very sorry for that. All I'm trying to say is this. Divorce, I don't get it.
You don't get it. I'm going to tell you something, Bobby. The man that you're with, I think he need to take you and get your head examined. How dare you? How can you be on our PTO? How did you get elected? Could you please tell me that?
I was elected because I'm a go-getter, because I'm on the go.
On the go for what?
I am always on the go.
You're on the go for the men that are abusing their women. You're on the go for the children that are leaving their spouses because they're being beat.
Bobby, you are a whirlwind of activity. I planned all the poster boards. I've put up all of our...
I am listening to you, Bobby, and I'm trying to understand. I just can't understand what you're telling me and telling people on our radio. You've got children listening to you right now.
Well,
teenage children.
How dare you tell them it's okay to stay
with someone that's beating them?
It's difficult for a man to watch a woman that 8 months ago was, in his vision, a real piece of you-know-what, puking up blood in a toilet.
You're a full-grown lady. Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead, Charlotte. I've got to take a break here.
And thank you so much for letting me speak. But I want to know something, Bobby. You get on the radio right now, and you are telling the entire world, too, about your sex life, where you've been, what you've done.
Oh, my God, you're telling everybody about how you barf.
That's right. It's chemo, honey.
You're on the radio.
You're talking about sex acts in the sewer.
My God, you're on the air talking about, and I barfed here, and I barfed there.
Oh, my God,
lady. I barf.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
When was your last pork chop in the nation? These are the questions I ask myself.